How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about, once again, football and the politics. So, the off...
Carousel.
Yes, the coaching carousel.
Yes.
The,
Gordon Gee.
Well, yes, we gotta touch on Gordon Gee. I might as well do that first, I guess.
He was in the coaching carousel.
I don't think he was.
He was.
Okay.
He was the coach for the Raiders.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Took him to the Super Bowl.
Gordon Gee took the Raiders to the Super Bowl a couple of times.
He's a good coach. He used to take those guys in the locker room during halftime, knock them around a little bit.
I'm surprised Tressel didn't get farther.
Where?
Coaching.
Well, he got in trouble. He got canned.
I mean,
broke those rules with the NCAA.
So did Urban Meyer. He got a coaching job in the NFL. He got fired in about 4 weeks. Alrighty, well, yes, with that being said, we did go up to Columbus yesterday and interviewed, Gordon Gee. I wanted to make sure it was yesterday. My head's broken sometimes. But yes, we went up to Columbus yesterday to interview Gordon Gee. Gordon Gee was a nice fellow. My first time meeting Gordon Gee. Like I said, nice guy. Answered every question that was asked of him, so that's always good. I believe he answered to what he believes, to be honest, at the very least. He's a rather candid fellow, it seems. He answered the hard... Well, there were only four hard questions. He was asked about Wexner, in which he said that Wexner was a man of great character and integrity, and that we should wait for the system to play out, which I don't know Wexner as a man, so I can't speak on that, but I think that waiting for the system to play out is always a good thing, innocent until proven guilty, I guess. But I can say that being named co-conspirator in the Epstein files does not bode well for you. He was asked about the sex abuse scandal at OSU with the whole Dr. Strauss incidents. Said that, I think he said that somebody said that his name was mentioned like 33 times in the Surviving Ohio State I think it's called Surviving Ohio State, the documentary. I think he said something along the lines of, yeah, I was the university president, the president's gonna be mentioned. But he said he didn't know anything about it, that there was no evidence of his office knowing anything about it. So that's good, I guess, once again, innocent until proven guilty. I'll take his word for it. I mean, I've seen nothing to say otherwise, I guess. Gordon Gee is an interesting fellow. He was also asked about the incident in which the teacher assaulted the independent journalists. Now, I don't think that the teacher should have assaulted the journalist. But I don't think the journalist should go shoving cameras in people's faces. Two wrongs don't make a right, but I don't necessarily think that waiting for Gordon Gee to get out of the bathroom and then ambushing him with a camera is a grand idea. And Gordon Gee said that he did talk to the man for a minute. He was courteous to him. So I don't know what that conversation looked like, but... I don't know. I'd be interested to see the whole clip. I have seen the little video of the fight. Now it does just kind of look like the cameraman's. The cameraman says just one more, and the man and then he like steps forward into the man like closer to the professor than the professor, and then the cameraman steps back away from the professor after stepping forward, and then the professor like punches him or pushes him, and then he also kicks him while he's on the ground. I think he was just fed up. But, no. I don't think you should have done that, but I think that I don't think the cameraman should have been doing what he was doing. And I don't think that, ambushing somebody after they get out of the bathroom to ask them questions is a great way to get good information. If you want a good, concise answer, I suggest asking them in a controlled environment, as they would say. You could have asked him you could have just waited at the bathroom, said, hello, Mr. Gee, my name is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and we were wondering if you would be able to answer a few questions for us, that kind of thing. But no, that is not how it worked. apparently. And apparently, oh, by the way, the Gordon Gee said that he thought the professor was being a good bystander. And he also said that he felt that the camera crews were being, or the, I think he called them vloggers, but they were being extremely aggressive to the point where they were being obnoxious. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see where that whole thing goes. I do believe that the professor is ordered into court tomorrow, so there should be updates on that by next week. So I guess we will see where this ends up. But yeah. So he was asked about Wexner. He was asked about. Yeah, I think that was it. He said that we should reacquaint ourselves with the First Amendment because he kind of got beat over the head for defending Wexner, which you know. I understand to some extent. You know, he's been friends with the man for 30 years, so, I don't know. Nobody wants their friends to be wrong, I guess. But, yeah, with that being said, I guess there's, football stories. So, let us talk about the football stories here. The Super Bowl has happened. The Seahawks won the Super Bowl as, I thought they would. The Patriots did not do as well as I thought they would. I thought it would be a closer game. But the Patriots did have the weakest schedule in the NFL, or second weakest, actually. And they had a pretty easy playoff schedule. So they kind of got lucky. But the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. And seeing as the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, I guess the owner of the Seahawks has put the Seahawks up for sale. So, a Super Bowl-winning franchise is now going up for sale. It's going to be worth quite a bit of money. I'm going to be rather upset if a corporation buys it, like Walmart bought the Broncos. I don't think it was actually Walmart. It was the Walton family, but, you know, they own, I think, 51% of Walmart or something like that. The majority, I think, large majority. I mean, this, like, 49, maybe. I don't know. They own a lot of Walmart. So very wealthy people bought it for a lot of money. But I would be upset if that's what football teams end up becoming. I mean, like Robert Kraft was just a fan of the Patriots, and then he bought the Patriots and then turned them into like the one of the winningest franchises in NFL history. So I think that player-owned or player-fan or just I guess wealthy mogul. Owned teams are probably better. That's like the traditional football style thing. I mean, like I said, I don't think corporations owning football teams is great. Not really a fan. But, I mean, there's a salary cap, so I don't think it matters. But, I mean, it's not like they don't have money to pour into the Dolphins. Or the Dolphins. It's not like they don't have money to pour into the Broncos. So, or I guess in this case the Seahawks, but the Seahawks don't really need the money poured in. They might need like stadium renovations or something, perhaps. But I've never been to the Seahawks stadium, so I do not know. But she, the owner of the Seahawks, is probably going to make quite a bit of money. I'm gonna say in the ballpark of a billion or something. I don't remember how much the Broncos was purchased for, but it was a lot of money. And every time a team sells, it breaks the record for the most expensive team ever sold. So, there's that. That's always a good thing, I guess, if you're looking to make money. So, yeah, the Seahawks are up for sale. And what a time to put them up for sale right after winning the Super Bowl. She's going to get the high dollar off of that. Sam Darnold, by the way, is the first quarterback in NFL history to win a Super Bowl after playing for 5+ teams, so he's the first nomad quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Trying to think of some other nomad quarterbacks. I mean, obviously you have Ryan Fitzpatrick. Man, I can't think of any for some reason. I don't know. There have been plenty of quarterbacks to go from team to team. I mean, Jacoby Brissett's been on a bunch of teams. Josh Dobbs has been on a bunch of teams. Jay Cutler has been on a bunch of teams. You know, it's just, there are all kinds of those kinds of quarterbacks. good on Sam Darnold for being the first in NFL history to do something as big as winning the Super Bowl. Personally, I think Sam Darnold is very mid. He did not play well in the Super Bowl. I mean, he had a lot of passes that were underthrown, or he didn't put enough air under it. I guess those are kind of the same thing. But placement accuracy, basically, just not the best. But in his defense, Christian Gonzalez was playing a great game. Christian Gonzalez is probably the best DB in the NFL, and he plays for the Patriots. He had a lot of, I want to say like three or four pass deflections. A lot of big plays were shut down by Christian Gonzalez, so good on him. When he, when his rookie contract is up, they're going to have to pay him an arm and a leg. And boy, howdy, do I know that New England does not like to pay people. So I'm interested to see how that works. As far as the game goes, there wasn't really anybody who played all that well besides Jason Myers, the kicker. And Kenneth Walker, the Seahawks running back. Kenneth Walker played so well, as a matter of fact, that he won the MVP. I draft Kenneth Walker every year in fantasy. I think he's very slept on as far as running backs go. He is in a two running back system, though, so that's a little rough. You know, you got to split snaps there, but he's definitely got the explosiveness to make up for it. I know that Zach Charbonnet got hurt. That's the other running back. And he said that, I don't remember exactly, but he said that he wasn't playing for just him. He was playing for both him and Charbonnet, because Charbonnet obviously couldn't play in the Super Bowl, which is a disappointment for Charbonnet. But yeah, so Kenneth Walker won the MVP, so good on Kenneth Walker. He's probably the most underrated running back in the NFL, in my opinion. JSN did get hurt, by the way, so RIP to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, he was only out for half the game. He came back, but he didn't really do a lot in the Super Bowl, which is unfortunate, considering he had almost, I think he was at 1,992 yards, so 8 yards off of 2,000, which I do believe would have broken Calvin Johnson's record. So he was the best wide receiver in the NFL this league, which probably made Sam Darnold look good. I think Sam Darnold is the king of mid. It was Kirk Chain, you know, Kirk O'Chain's, Kirk Cousins. But he's kind of fallen off. You'll have that, though. Like I said, Sam Darnold did not play great, so it's not really JSN's fault that he didn't play great. I mean, there were a few times Sam Darnold threw the ball to JSN, and, you know, Christian Gonzalez stopped it a couple of times, and I don't know. The defense for the Patriots was great. I mean, it was a defensive game for sure, but Drake May and the Patriots offense just couldn't get anything going, and really the Seahawks offense couldn't get anything going. Kenneth Walker was doing well, but the passing game couldn't get going. The score was rather deceiving. They had 5 field goals. So with the lack of offense, the field goals definitely can do it. Jason Myers has, I do believe set, I don't have it written down here, but I do believe I read that, Jason Myers, the kicker for the 49ers, has the, NFL record for most kicks, most field goals made in a Super Bowl, most kicks made by a kicker in the Super Bowl, obviously. One second here, trying to make sure I have that right. Yes, Jason Myers set the record for the most field goals in a single Super Bowl, converting 5 in Super Bowl 55. Or no, I'm dumb. 60. That definitely says 60. But 5 Super Bowl, or sorry, 5 Super Bowls, 5 field goals. So he put up 17 points himself, because each field goal was worth 3, 5 times 3 is 15, and they did, and the Seahawks did score twice, so he also got both of his extra points. That's why a good kicker is a good thing to have. You know, the Packers have had a terrible kicker for a long time. The Packers haven't had any playoff appearances, despite having great records since 2011. Super Bowl appearances. Despite having the best record, or the third best record since 2011 in the NFL. because the special teams coach sucks, or the defense has struggled in the past. The offense has had struggles. It has been a rough time for the Packers. I mean, we had DeShone Kizer at quarterback at one point. That was brutal. But, you know, you'll have that, I guess. But no, kickers are probably the most underrated position in the or undervalued. They get paid not a lot, considering that they're like one bad kick away from getting fired. Always. I mean, like Eddie Pinheiro, I think is the one who got fired for the Bears when he missed the field goal that would have took the Bears to the NFC Championship game. And honestly, he was an all right kicker. They just got mad that he missed the kick that would have taken him to the NFC Championship game. So they said fired. And honestly, I'm surprised the Packers haven't fired Brandon McManus yet. He's still on roster, but the Packers are in cap struggles. So, which they always are. So I think that there's a good chance that Brandon McManus will probably be fired. And I'd just draft a kicker, honestly. Can't be worse than Brandon McManus leaving 7 points on the board. Still pressed about that. But, you know, is what it is, I guess. Sucks to suck. As far as the offseason goes, David Njoku has decided to leave Cleveland, so Cleveland is going to lose David Njoku, but he's more like a cap casualty. He cost a good bit of money, and Harold Fannin Jr. is cost, you know, a lot less, and he's, in a lot of people's opinion, better. And he's a rookie, so he's just a lot younger. I think David Njoku, I want to say, is 29. But no, I mean, that's, I think, a loss for Cleveland. I mean, he's not as great a pass catcher as he once was, but he is a great blocking tight end, I guess. He's good on the run game because he can block, as the name might suggest, blocking tight end. But and Cleveland does like to run a lot, but they don't have a wide receiver core, so I can understand that. Quinshon's a great running back. Dylan Sampson is less great than Quinshon, but I still like Dylan Sampson quite a bit, actually. I wish Dylan would have gone to another team other than the Browns. That way he could also get some that way he could also be a starting back. I think he could do it, given the chance, but obviously not behind Quinshon. But I don't know. I'm excited to see what the Browns are up to this year. They got Todd Monken. He's apparently planning a massive revamp of the Browns, so we'll see how that works. Now, they did lose, like I was describing to Scott earlier, the Browns did lose their defensive coordinator because he was upset that he did not get chosen for the head coach job, which is understandable in my opinion. I mean, he has had the best defense in the NFL for the last 2 years. I mean, you know, you could look at stats. I'm sure you can dispute that. But in my opinion, I mean, at the very least last year, easily top five at least. Top five last 2 years at least. I think he deserves a chance at head coach, and he wanted to be head coach of the Browns, which would have been, we did talk about this last week, but yeah, it would have been a full circle moment for him. The Browns was his first coaching job, or I guess just NFL job. He was an NFL personnel scout. But, so it would have been full circle, but he was upset about not being chosen, and he ultimately decided to resign. So he won't be back in the NFL this year, as the Browns have rights on him because he resigned and wasn't fired. And should he come back, the Browns certainly would want him as their D coordinator. So he's going to sit out all of next year. But he'll likely come back with a head coaching job in 27. I would say so, at least. I'm also interested to see how the Mike Tomlin situation plays out, but that's got some time left, obviously. I think he's going to take a couple of years off. But I don't really have any evidence to back that up. Also, Derek Carr said he was going to... he said he was thinking about coming back to the NFL. But he said he would only come back... Derek Carr, by the way, former quarterback for the Raiders. Very mediocre, in my opinion. Derek Carr is an all right quarterback, but you know, he was never great, in my opinion. To be fair, he did play for the Raiders, so you'll have that when you play for a team that just has the worst line consistently. Derek Carr is thinking about coming back to the NFL, but he said he would only play for a team that is a Super Bowl contender. Now, if I had to take a guess and say if that statement is true, that he will not play... By the way, if you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. I know I've just kind of been rambling here. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free. 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. If I had to guess, if Derek Carr is not lying and he will only come back for a team that's a Super Bowl contender, I don't think Derek Carr is coming back. Now, I guess maybe if I were like the Broncos and, you know, I have nothing against Jarrett Stidham. I'm actually a fan of Jarrett Stidham. I think the Broncos didn't throw the ball enough. That's how much of a fan I am of Jarrett Stidham. But I think Derek Carr probably is, at the very least has more experience than Jarrett Stidham. At least game experience. I don't know when Jarrett Stidham came into the NFL. But he still played with... I think he was drafted like a year or two before Brady left the Patriots or something like that. He was drafted to the Patriots, by the way. But I would think that if Derek Carr actually will only come back and play for a team that's in Super Bowl contention, there will not be Derek Carr playing in the NFL. Like I said, unless I'm like the Broncos and you know, Bo Nix gets hurt towards the end, like, maybe, but, like, if you're in Super Bowl contention, odds are you have a quarterback that you at least trust. Like, Sam Darnold, are there better quarterbacks than Sam Darnold? Absolutely. But do they trust Sam Darnold? I'm sure they do. They certainly let him throw the ball a lot. I don't have a lot of faith in Derek Carr. He's been retired now for a few years. We saw how that went with Phillip Rivers. And to make him quarterback of a Super Bowl contending team, unless you are, like, no answers left, that's rough in my opinion. I think that, Also, I do believe he said that he wants to be a starter. I don't think he said that this time, but I do believe he has said that if he comes back, he doesn't want to be a bench player. He wants to start the entire season. He wants to play for the entirety of the season when he comes back, I guess, is my understanding. So if he comes back as a hurt player, a fill-in, I guess, then he wants to play the remainder of the season. Which I think is all right. I mean, I think we talked about it when the earlier in the football season, but when Joe Burrow got hurt, there was talks that they were going, because before they got Joe Flacco, the Bengals reached out to apparently Derek Carr, and Derek Carr said that if he were to come back, he'd want to play. He wouldn't want to be benched. Basically, he'd want to play the remainder of the season. But I guess for some reason the Bengals weren't about that. Honestly, I would have been all right with it. I mean, not to be that guy, but the Bengals season was pretty much over. I mean, let's be honest here. It was pretty much over. I think I would have just got Derek Carr and started him. Because honestly, like, if Derek Carr gets you to the playoffs, you know, Derek Carr got you there to begin with. Your season was in the hole before you got him. Might as well let Derek Carr take you home as well. I don't know. But I don't think that Derek Carr is going to be coming back if he's only going to come back to a team that plays or is in Super Bowl contention. Unless he's like, I don't know, unless the Raiders were really just that bad that he... I don't know. He was there for a long time, I guess, but he was not great. And he was really upset. But Devontae Adams was really upset when he played on the Raiders. I don't think that was actually... Well, yeah, it was. He played with Devontae Adams played with Derek Carr for, I do believe, 1 year, and there were videos of Devontae Adams being very upset because he would come back to the sideline and like throw his helmet down, and he said, "I've never been hit so many times in my life," because Derek Carr likes to throw concussion balls. He'll just throw a ball in coverage, so if when you try to get it, you're gonna get blown up. But, are there worse quarterbacks in the NFL than Derek Carr? Absolutely. I don't think I'd put Derek Carr in the first-string quarterback position of my Super Bowl-caliber team. I don't know what he's going to do about that. If he wants to come back, he has to lower his standards. So, I guess we'll see what happens with that. Derek Carr may or may not be coming back to the NFL. We shall see. Speaking of quarterbacks, Tua. The decisions have not come down yet for Tua, but the Dolphins GM, John Eric Sullivan, says that Tua and him have had discussions about Tua's future in Miami, and he said they have been good conversations, but there has been no final decision made yet. But he also said that, you know, no matter what happens, they should be lucky to have had him, they should be lucky to have and having him, I guess, was the quote, but, yeah. So, I don't know. I think they're probably going to draft a quarterback. I would. I'm not big on Tua. I was a fan of Quinn Ewers up until they started him, and then he didn't do anything. So I guess we'll see what next year happens next year in the preseason, because that's probably going to determine who gets the start. But I would not hedge my bets on Ewers at this exact moment. I don't know honestly who's all coming out into the draft, but I know that Indiana's quarterback is, but he's projected to be pick number one. But I don't think it's going to do any good. I do believe the Raiders have the first pick. And their O-line sucks, so there'd be no point in getting a quarterback. They do have Geno, and Geno's not great. Geno Smith from, funnily enough, the Seahawks. Geno, again, there's quarterbacks worse in the NFL than Geno. Also, we didn't talk about this, because I don't know why. I forgot about it, I guess. Shedeur Sanders made the Pro Bowl. What is Shedeur Sanders doing in the Pro Bowl? Shedeur Sanders was not Pro Bowl caliber. Now, I have nothing against Shedeur Sanders. I went and watched the Browns play, and I saw Shedeur play in person. He's good. But, he's fine. But He certainly did not have a Pro Bowl caliber season. The Browns certainly did not produce any Pro Bowl caliber games, even. I mean, he had one game with good yardage. I mean, he didn't do enough, in my opinion, to end up in the Pro Bowl. I think he probably made it there because he is the son of Deion. And Deion Sanders is he's a popular person. He's also a Pro Bowl voter. I do believe he's on the board to vote for that. Maybe not, but I think he is. It sounds right. But either way, I'm not a fan of that pick of Shedeur being in there. I honestly don't think the quarterback play of the Browns was all that great in general this year either. They had three quarterbacks, and I don't think any of them were great. But also, they had no offensive line. The offensive line, I don't know. Their offensive line isn't terrible, I guess. But they're, I don't know, it seems like they're more built for running the ball than passing the ball. I don't know. Quinshon Judkins did quite well, but, I mean, they had nobody to throw the ball to. Besides Harold Fannin was quite good, and I've said on here before, I am a fan of Isaiah Bond, but, I don't know. Yeah, he didn't do as well last year as I thought he would. He's an undrafted rookie, so I mean, maybe I just had too high of expectations for him. But he also didn't get a whole lot of play time, I guess. Either way, I think that he's going to be good given time. He's got a very similar build to Jaden Reed, and he came out of Texas. Now, Jaden Reed didn't come out of Texas, but Texas produced Matthew Golden, and Matthew Golden is okay. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think it'll be good, especially given that hopefully now they have a team. And with the last football story we have, Max Crosby is, now it's not actually happened yet, but there are rumors that Max Crosby might be traded to the Cowboys. I think that it could be, well, it'd be a great trade for the Cowboys, depending on what they get. Like the trade for Micah Parsons that the Packers made. Now, I'm not saying that Micah Parsons wasn't a good player, and I'm not saying I'm not happy to have Micah Parsons, but I think that giving up Kenny Clark and two first-round picks was not it. Now, Kenny Clark has kind of fallen off. He's not the Pro Bowl D-lineman that we once had when we had Mike McCarthy, but he's still solid, and we don't have a defensive tackle. Well, we have, like, I don't know, Kingsley and Igbari, but we don't have really a solid D-line, so you can just kind of run the ball on us, and we have to hope the secondary stops it. But I don't remember what yes, Max Crosby, that's right. I don't know how I ended up. Oh, yes, because the Micah Parsons trade. But no, I think it could be good for the Cowboys, especially seeing as they lost Micah Parsons. I think getting a Max Crosby to replace Micah Parsons is a good idea. Max Crosby has been great for the Raiders, and I think it'd be to do Max Crosby good to get out of the Raiders. He's not young. I mean, he's not old. I think he's 27. I could be wrong. But, yeah, he's good. And I think that, sooner rather than later, he might want to win a Super Bowl. Because I don't think that the Raiders are going anytime soon. I don't know. They had a couple decent picks. I mean, you know, Ashton Jeanty did all right. But I think it's unfortunate that he went to the, to the Raiders. But yeah. So, I think Max Crosby would be a good trade for the Cowboys. And like I said, it could end up being a good trade for everybody. I mean, if the Cowboys got Max Crosby, I'm sure it would fill up holes, or, you know, a hole on their defense. And if the Raiders make a good enough draft well enough based on the capital that they get from the Cowboys, should this trade go through, It could pay off well. Yeah. I mean, George Pickens is a free agent. I guess I could talk about that, but I think George Pickens is just going to go back to the Cowboys, honestly. I would if I were George Pickens. I don't know, unless I'm going to chase the Super Bowl, in which case I'll go probably to the Patriots. The Patriots need a receiver number one right about now. But, yeah. So that was going to be it for the football discussion tonight, but we still got about 14 minutes, so if you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. There are some political stories to talk about, so we can talk about that real fast, and then the little bit of time we have left here. I think this story came from last week, but I didn't get time to talk about it, so I'll talk about it now. The Supreme Court has allowed California to keep their Electoral College map change, which, I mean, doesn't really surprise me. I mean, they let Texas do it. If you're going to let Texas do it, you got to let California do it, because that's, you know, kind of how the core system is built on precedent. So if you're going to set a precedent, you got to keep the precedent. We don't have to, I guess, but you know, it would make sense. But no. So I thought, I mean, there's not a whole lot there. I mean, just that they allowed them to keep it. I think that doesn't bode well for Trump. I mean, I think it's 5 seats they stand to gain in the House. I mean, 5 seats doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, they're not the only place to be doing it. I mean, I don't remember who all, you know, set up to reschedule their place, but or their districts, but there were a lot of other people who did. So, well, I don't know about a lot, but there were a few. So, I mean, I don't think that having Texas do that was all that good for Trump, because I think that he might have lost himself more seats in the long run. But, I mean, you know, I guess we shall see when the election rolls around here in the midterms. Also, according to a poll done by the AP, 7 out of 10 Americans disapprove of how Trump is handling the situation with Greenland. I think that's understandable. I mean, I think that Donald Trump is trying to... Well, I mean, I've said on here before, I mean, it seems to me like Donald Trump's trying to bring back the whole Manifest Destiny, well, like, westward expansion. Now I understand we're not going west, but, you know, expansion nonetheless. I don't think that the United States should be doing any of that. I think diplomacy is always the way to go. I think that if we really wanted to expand our military operations on Greenland, they would have let us without any hesitation. We've been friends with Greenland for a long time. We've had military installations on Greenland for a long time. I'm sure they would have just let us expand operations. I don't know why Donald Trump is so concerned. I mean, unless he really just wants the resources that are over there, in which case I guess I can understand. You know, they have a bunch of resources over there, but I think Donald Trump could just calm down, okay? There's no reason to go after Greenland. Greenland does not like it. I don't understand what Donald Trump's doing right now. I mean, like, I don't know. He goes into, like, some kind of, like, tariff war against China, you know, an economic war against China, but then he equally, at the same time, does the same thing to everybody else. Like, Canada has signed a new trade agreement with China. I don't remember who else I was reading the other day signed a trade agreement, or some kind of a diplomatic agreement with China. I mean, they're just pushing people closer to the people who we do not want them to be close with. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We were, you know, one of the better liked countries in the world up until, you know, the last 2 years. Well, not even 2 years. Like, you know, since Donald Trump has been in office. But here we are, I guess. It's come down to where we're at right now. But I think Trump should just calm down on Greenland. I think that Greenland wants nothing to do with us. Like I said, I'm sure if we just wanted to expand our... If the issue is national security, then just expand the military presence. I'm sure they'd let us. We already have a military presence, unless they've, you know, in the process of, like, kicking us off or something, because, you know, understandable at this point. But no, he is very underwater on the handling of Greenland. 7 in 10, 70% of people. Now, I understand it's a poll. I mean, I don't know how many people they did in this poll. But, I mean, that's a lot of people. I mean, there's definitely seems to me that there's some kind of split coming in the Republican Party. I mean, Republicans are not a fan of how he's doing the whole Greenland thing. I don't know. The whole thing's just kind of interesting to me, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is, I suppose. It'll get sorted out at some point or another. I doubt we're going to end up with Greenland. Hopefully we don't, you know, yoink Greenland. So I don't know what's up with that. But in other news, I guess ICE is planning to spend $38.3 billion, is billion with a B, $1 billion converting warehouses to detention centers. You know, at one point in time, I thought the Republicans were supposed to be the party of fiscal fiscal conservatism, but it doesn't seem that way anymore. Boy, how do they like to spend money? They like to use them. Politics is just upsetting sometimes. $38.3 billion on new detention centers for, you know, like tens of thousands of people is crazy. You know, the government likes to talk about how... Now, I'm not a fan in theory of, you know, building everybody a house on the government tax dollar, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, if the government can spend $38.3 billion to just, you know, build a storage, like a holding center for tens of thousands of, you know, allegedly illegal immigrants, I'm sure they could afford, you know, a few dollars to, like, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. They don't have money to do this, but oh boy howdy, when they want something done, they'll spend an absurd amount of money to get it done. I don't quite understand. But, I don't know. I don't know. I think that it's probably a big waste of $38.3 billion. I mean, that's a lot of money. And I mean, I know I said, but like, you know, the United States spends pretty close to $1 trillion. It's like 938. I don't remember the exact number. Pretty close to $1 trillion on military spending. So this is, well, let's see, a third times, so this is like 1/30th of the military budget, if I did my math right. But either way, I mean, it's, you know, absurd. I don't know why you feel the need to spend almost $40 billion on buying and refitting, I guess you'd call it refitting, repurposing maybe, converting, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know why you spend almost $40 billion on building detention centers for illegal immigrants when, I don't know. You don't have money to feed people, you don't have money to give people free health care, you don't have money to build people houses, but boy, howdy, do you have money to build $40 billion in detention centers? Like, make it make sense. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's a big waste of $40 billion. $40 billion is an absurd amount of money that we are spending on nada. Pointless. In my opinion, I guess. But, also, one thing I wanted to talk about. Man, time is going right by here. We got like 4.5 minutes. The Epstein files. There has been no real repercussion in the United States from the Epstein file. I mean, if your name's in the list, it pretty much becomes, like, instant news. But, like, except from that, there's no real repercussion. I mean, in Europe... I mean, like, who was it? Prince Philip, I think, is the one. I don't know. One of the royal family members got, like, you know, basically disowned because he was in there. The UK's prime, like the British prime minister, and like the UK's ambassador to Washington, and all kinds of high level, high reputation, high ranking, you know, public officials in Europe have resigned or stepped down, or I think a couple of them are even possibly facing criminal charges. And most of them aren't even, I do believe, out of the ones I've mentioned, I do believe the only one I know of, at least, to have been accused of, like, an actual, like, you know, inappropriate act, Other than talking to, reaching out with, being friends with Jeffrey Epstein after the conviction, was, I want to say it's Prince Philip. I know it's the prince, but I don't know which prince it is. I always want to say Prince Henry, but I think he's the one in the United States, so I don't think that's right. I do believe it's Prince Philip. Sorry, my nose is, like, stuffed for some reason. But, so there has been repercussion in Europe, just not in the United States. So, my hope is that when we get some people in the office who actually care about doing the job done, or getting the job done the right way, or at the very least, you know, whatever they feel to be the right way, I suppose, hopefully they can, you know, get actually some kind of repercussion for this. Like I said, it has had repercussions in Europe. There have been people who resigned and things of the sort. So I'm just hoping that eventually push comes to shove and it makes its way to the United States and we start getting some stuff done. Now, I think it was Christy Noem said that if they released all of the redacted Epstein files, the system would fall apart or something like that. And honestly, I think if that's the case, if there are so many people, so many influential, high-level people in the Epstein files, that if we release the Epstein files, that the system, like the governmental system, would fall apart. Honestly, that might be for the best. We could hold a special election or something and just put new people, I don't know. It, we'd make it work. I don't think that that's a good reason to just say, well, you know, we shouldn't do that. If there are that many people in the government on the list, I think that it might just be a time to get, you know, a majority new government or something. Because obviously we messed up somewhere with the old one. I'm not saying we, like, rewrite the Constitution or anything, like, stupid like that. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. If there's so much, like I said, if there's that many people in the Epstein files that it would, like, cause a collapse of the United States government, then, you know, I think that, you know, it's probably for the best that we just, cut the low-hanging fruit while we can. You know, remove the poisonous fruit before it poisons everything else. But, with that being said, we got about 30 seconds here. I did want to mention that there has been an investigation opened into two ICE officers over the over a shooting of, I do believe, two Venezuelan men in Minneapolis. But they were not killed, I think shot in the, like, leg. Harmed. But, nonetheless, they lied under oath, allegedly. So, I'm interested to see where that goes, but until that goes anywhere, stay safe, stay warm, thank you for listening, and have a nice night. Goodbye.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps...